Okay, we're beginning here on Yud Chet Amud Aleph, 11 lines down. Amar Abai, Avir Shlosha Besuga Gedola. You have an airspace that is 3 tefachim wide, and a Sukkah Gedola, and a larger Sukkah that's above and beyond the minimum shiur of Sukkah. Umiato Ben Bikanim, Ben Bishibudim, Avimiyut. And then you reduce that airspace, whether it's with Kanim, which would be Kosher Shach, Ben Bishibudim, with non-Kosher Shach, Avimiyut. That works. Besugah Ktana, on the other hand, if you are in a Sukkah that only meets the regulation, that's 7 by 7 tefachim, Bikanim Avimiyut, if you put in Kosher Shach, it works. Bishipudim lo havimiyut. If you put in nagoshes chach, it does not work. V'hane mili min atzad, that's only true from the side. Aval be'emtza, in the middle, plige ba ravacha v'ravina. In the middle, we have a machloket ravacha v'ravina. Charamar yesh lavud be'emtza. Charamar ein lavud be'emtza. One of them says that there is the principle of lavud in the middle. One says there is no principle of lavud in the middle. So now, in a bigger sukkah, where you have a gap that is more than 3 tefachim of avir, shlosha tefachim already, you cannot say lavud. So the airspace or the gap causes you a problem in the sukkah if it divides the sukkah in half. And the airspace is only problematic if you're not left with the kosher sukkah in the sukkah itself, in the larger sukkah. So generally, when we're talking about this airspace, we're talking about something that cuts down the middle, something that goes from the back wall all the way to the open side. In their day, the sukkot are like a horseshoe, 3 walls. So if you have an airspace that's 1-3 tefachim that runs from the opening side all the way to the back wall, then you have a problem. Not because you are missing kosher schach, but you don't have the minimum requirement of 3 walls, because when the line or that empty space goes through the middle, it leaves you with a side wall and then the perpendicular back wall, but that's it. You can never connect with the wall that is opposing because of that airspace that cuts the sukkah in half. So in that case, all I need to do is get rid of the airspace. If I put in kosher schach, then fine. So we have kosher schach now, you're below 3 tefachim, and you can use lavud for the airspace. Or if I put in non-kosher schach, b'shipudim, remember that non-kosher schach has a minimum requirement of 4 tefachim in order to be posel at a sukkah. In order to ruin the sukkah, it has to be a minimum of 4. So if you fill it in with non-kosher schach, it would connect the sukkah together. Again, you don't even have to fill in the whole thing. If you just filled in a portion of it with non-kosher schach, then you can utilize both non-kosher schach and lavud for the remaining space, and both of them are below their minimum requirement, and you won't have a problem of the sukkah being split in half.
Wouldn't be able to sit under.
Depending how significant it is. There is a difference between avir and schach pasul. Schach pasul is batel, the gabei the schach kasher, and therefore it's as if the whole thing's covered in schach kasher and you're okay. In a case where you have a avir, this is in Shochan Aruch Taf Reish Lamed Bet. See, Bet, avir, ben b'gdola, ben b'ktana, shavim. De ben b'emtza, ben min atzad, b'shlosha tefachim psula. 3 tefachim is the threshold for avir. V'pachom mishlosha ksheira. It's less than 3 tefachim, it's kasher, mitztaref lahashlim the sukkah. And it helps you get to your minimum of 7 by 7 tefachim, ve'ein yishenim tachtav. And you cannot sleep under that space that a Gemara on Yud Tet Amud Aleph at the bottom will tell us that you cannot utilize that space under that open air space that you're invoking lavud for. The Ramah says, in a sukkah gedolah, it will be problematic if it goes al pnei kula, if it goes across the whole sukkah. Halech al pnei kula sukkah. If it traverses or bisects the sukkah, then it's problematic. Because as Duran says, otherwise you don't have a sukkah that doesn't have holes in it. No sukkah is perfectly covered and so thick that there are no holes in it. Obviously there's air spaces there, and we invoke lavud in all those cases, because then it's not obvious. It's not like there's a big cut or a break in the sukkah, and therefore you can sleep under that space, because that's the natural way to put up schach. But if there's a long trail that is bisecting the sukkah, even though it's less than 3 tefachim, and we invoke lavud over there, it helps you to make the schach contiguous, but it does not help you to make that area kasher to sleep under it. And the reason that the difference in halacha between schach pasul, where it's mitzdarif to make up the sukkah, and it's kasher, it's batel to the other schach, versus airspace, where it can be mitzdarif to the sukkah to make it kasher, but it does not kasher to sit under it, or in a bigger sukkah, it allows you to make it contiguous, but again, it's not kasher to sleep under it. That is because, as the Taz says, there's a difference between airspace and schach pasul. Airspace is easily discernible by the eye, and it's obvious that there's a gap here. So because of that, the halachic reality allows us to close the gap. But it's still a gap, and therefore you can't stay under it. Whereas when you have schach pasul, it's not easily discernible into the eye where the schach pasul and schach kasher is. Therefore we say the batel, the gabe, the schach kasher, and it becomes as if the whole thing is kasher, as long as it's below the minimum shiur, that it doesn't have significance in of itself, and you can sleep under it, or you can utilize it as if it was schach kasher. Right, so now, in the small sukkah, where I have the 7x7 tefachim, if I have less than 3 tefachim wide, I say lavud, and my sukkah is good. It's mitzdarif, the space is mitzdarif to get you to your minimum of 7x7 tefachim, although the Shulchan Aruch brings that you shouldn't sit under that space. That space under the lavud area, where it's a small sukkah, where it's a minimum of 7x7, under that space becomes problematic. All these things that I'm saying are going to come up on Yud Tetam and Aleph at the bottom on Shabbos is daf, so you'll see them when we get there. But that airspace will cause a problem. In terms of sitting under it, it will not reduce or cause a problem in terms of the size of the sukkah. The 7x7 will be fine because the lavud is kesatum. It's as if it's closed in. It's fine. Assuming that you have tiltam ruba mechamata, you should be fine even if you have the airspace there. If you put in shipudim, and this is the problem, he says, if you have a small sukkah and you put in kanim, you put in kosher schach, that's not a problem. Because the kosher schach is mitzdari for the other kosher schach. And lavud, you invoke lavud, you have no problem because then you're less than 3 tefachim. If you put in shipudim, if you put in non-kosher schach, the problem is that you remain with 3 tefachim of problematic area. Even though, in terms of closing up the area, like in a big sukkah, it wouldn't be a problem. You have a little non-kosher schach, you have a little lavud, you're fine because there's not a shear of this, not a shear of that, and you have the big sukkah and we're fine. Over here, because you're at the minimum shiur of 7x7 tefachim, if you put in the shipudim to reduce the space, so now you have lavud, you still have a problematic space that is 3 tefachim wide. And because we're at the minimum shiur of sukkah, that 3 tefachim together, the shipudim and the airspace, will cause you a problem and not allow you to get to your minimum shiur of 7x7 tefachim. And that's why he says, v'shipudim lo havi miyut. Shipudim don't help you. They should have helped you because once you put the shipud in, you have not enough non-kosher schach to ruin it. Plus you have lavud, you should be fine. But because you're in a minimum sukkah of 7x7, you cannot use that space, which still has significance to it, which is 3 tefachim, to be added towards your minimum shear of 7x7. In the larger sukkah, where you already have plenty of kosher schach, 7x7 on both sides, then that will not cause a hefsek, that will not cause an interruption, because it's not significant enough, because the lavud collapses that space, and the non-kosher schach is not a shiur, and you are fine in that instance. In a large sukkah, where you don't need the space to make the sukkah, you just need the space not to interrupt, or to bisect, or invalidate the sukkah, there, it doesn't matter that it's 3 tefachim together, okay. Even if it's 3 tefachim together, it's fine, as long as we have a bridge between the two sides of the sukkah, then we're okay, no matter what is there. Now again, it could cause you a problem in terms of sitting under that space, but it won't ruin the sukkah as a whole because it's batel de gabei the sukkah. Right, so that's why we had a difference in din, as Abaye says, between a sukkah gedola and a sukkah ketana. V'hanei milei min atzad. Again, this is only from the side that the avir of pachot migimel is considered to be lovud and doesn't ruin the sukkah. That's only when you have it on next to the wall. But if you have the space in the middle of the sukkah, then there's no concept of lavud. According to one mandar amar, according to the other demar, lavud applies whether it's by the wall or whether it's in the middle. Remember in our Mishnah, when we quoted in the Mishnah said, "Hirchik asikuch min adifanot shlosha tefachim." So from the Mishnah, it seems to indicate or imply it's min atzad. The question is that just the example it gave? Or is that the din and you cannot extrapolate to the middle and lavud does not apply in the middle, only applies by the wall? So this is this machloket between Ravina and Ravacha. Chadamar yesh lavud b'emtza, v'chadamar ein lavud b'emtza. My time with the mandamar yesh lavud b'emtza, according to one who says that you do have lavud in the emtza, why is that? Titania. Because we have a breita in Eruvin with regards to a mavui where you have a korah. Korah yutz'a mikotel zeh, v'enogat bekotel acher. You have a korah which is at the end of the mavui. It's extending from one of the walls of the mavui, but does not reach all the way to the second side. It doesn't reach to the other side. But if it's within 3 tefachim of the other side, and v'chein shtei korot, or you have 2 korot coming out from the two sides, and they meet in the middle, but they never touch. They never get to each other in the middle. If that one board is less than 3 away from the opposing wall, or the 2 boards in the middle are less than 3 tefachim away from each other, then you do not have to bring another korah because it's considered to be a single korah going across. On the other hand, if it's shlosha, if it's 3 tefachim or more, tzarich lavi korah acheret, because you don't have a korah here. You don't have a korah that extends from one side of the mavui to the other side of the mavui because there's a gapping here that's too big to overcome. But what you do see is, in the first case, when you're talking about a board that comes out of one side but doesn't reach the other wall, That's min atzad. That doesn't prove anything. The case that proves it is when you have a board coming out of each side and they don't meet in the middle. I mean, they don't touch in the middle, but they're less than 3 tzvachim away from each other. There we say, lavud, and it works. So you see, be'emtza, we are invoking the principle of lavud. Remember, a mavoy has 3 sides to it. It's open on the 4th side to Rishut Rabim. On that 4th side that's open to Rishut Rabim, he's got to put a korah on the top, or a lechi, as the sign that that's the end of the mavoy. So when he's using a korah, it has to be a korah that reaches from one end of the mavoy to the other end of the mavoy, and that's what we're trying to accomplish over here. So that's the reasoning behind the position that says there is lavud be'emtza, ve'idach. The other position will say, shiny korot, derabanan. You can't compare the cases. Over there we're talking about eruvin, and korot from mavoy, shituf mivoot, which is all dine derabanan. Midoraita, there's no problem to carry in any of these places. These are all gzirot, takanot, chachamim. So they're makeyo by takanot chachamim to say there is lavud be'emtza. Over here we're talking about sukkah deoraita. Maybe we're not going to allow to use lavud be'emtza when it comes to sukkah deoraita. Now my time at demand damar in lavud be'emtza. What's the reasoning behind the one who says that there is no lavud be'emtza? Tonight we have a mishnah in ohalot. The mishnah in ohalot says aruba shebabayit. If you have a skylight in the middle of the house, uba poteach tefach, and it is a tefach wide and long. It's a tefach squared in the middle of the house. Tumah babayit. You have tumata mate sufficient to cause tumat ohel that's in the house. Hulo tameh. The entire house is tameh because it's under the roof of the house. What's opposite this skylight is tahor, because there is no roof over it. Whatever item is sitting under the open area doesn't have any roofing going over it, so it cannot have the tumah be transferred from wherever it is in the house to that area. So whatever is directly under the skylight is tahor. Anything that's in the house, which is under the roof, shares a common roof with the tumah tameit, is tameh. Tumah keneged arubah. On the other hand, if the tumah is found under the skylight, kol habayit kulo tahor. Then the entire bayit is tahor because it does not share a common roof. There is no roof over the tumah. The tumah is ola through the skylight, and there's nothing that covers it to be an ohel. Then the seifa. Ein baruba poteach tefach. There was not a tefach opening in the skylight. It was less than a tefach. Tumah babayit. If you have tumah in the house, keneged aruba tahor. Anything that's found under the aruba, again, is tahor because it doesn't share a common roof with the tumah tamate. So any tumah that is found in the house affects everything in the house, except for things that are found directly under the skylight. Tumah keneged aruba. If the tumah is under the skylight, then kol habayit kulo tahor. The entire bayit is tahor because, again, it doesn't have a roof that carries it over. There is no difference between the reisha and the seifa. There are many people who tried to change it in order to figure out what was going on here. They just gave you a reisha where the skylight is a tefach by a tefach, and there's seifa where it's less than a tefach by a tefach, and then it tells you the exact same din. The same din is true that if the tumah is in the house, it affects everything that's in the house except for things that are directly under the skylight. If the tumah is under the skylight, then the tumah does not spread to the house because there is no roof over the tumah. Exact same din. The Gemara is quoting the Mishnah in Ohalot, and as Tosafot says, Kedarko Bakodesh, the Gemara, when it quotes Mishnayot from Tarot, it tends to summarize the Mishnayot, does not quote them full-fledged manner. In that Mishnah there, it gives you differences between the dinim, between whether it's a poteach tefach and not a poteach tefach. These issues happen not to be the things that are different between them, are relevant, that make the difference. The Gemara is just quoting you the headings. There's a poteach tefach, not a poteach tefach, and just giving you the heading of what's going on in each of those two cases. It never gets to things that are different between them. Only gives you the common denominator between them, which is that if the tumah is in the house, it only affects the house, not the thing that is under, items that are under the skylight. It's under the skylight, the tumah doesn't spread to the house because there's no ohel. What the Gemara is after here is simply to show you that we don't say lavud at be'emtza. Because over here, it's less than 3 tefachim. If you said lavud, it would be as if there's a ceiling across the whole house. There's a ceiling across the whole house. It doesn't matter where the tumah or the tahor item is found. It's under the roof of the house, because we consider the arubah to be as if it's sealed over because of lavud. If that's the case, then there is a roof over everything. And there should be no difference whether you're found in the house or under the skylight. So that's his proof that we do not say lavud be'emtza.
We usually use lavud to be here.
Right, so you're saying that lavud is normally used as a matir, not as a kumra or to ruin something. So Tosafot in yesterday's daf, we didn't discuss this, but Tosafot in yesterday's daf has a number of scenarios where he wants to know what lavud would do, including what happens if you have lavud between two areas of pasul schach. You have two areas of pasul schach that are less than 4 tvachim each, and you have lovud between them, can the lovud allow you to mitzteref to make it that you have four tfachim of contiguous posel schach? So Tosfot says, Umiu heicha deleke psulim dalid, v'avir pachot migimul mafsik b'nehem, ein ha'avir mashlimo la'arba'ah. Tosafot says that we do not say lovod l'chumra in those cases. Over here, you're asking, okay, we don't say lovod because it's the chumra. All right, so that's one way to view it. That's the question of how you view the answer, and that's what the two tzadayim are, which is the idach, that's what the Gemara says here. The other position that believes that this is not a proof says that this is a din b'tumat ohel. This is a din of tuma. This is a totally different din versus the dinim of sukkah. They're both halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the halacha l'moshe m'sinai says that lovud does not apply in tumat ohel. But does that mean that the same din applies by sukkah? You cannot extrapolate a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, because by the mere fact that it is halacha l'moshe m'sinai already means that it's a single instance, a specific din that relates to whatever it's speaking about. From that, you cannot extrapolate. There's no such thing as a kal v'chomer from a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, or gzeira shava from a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai has to be said in every instance or every specific item that it is addressing. Right. The reason it's using poteach tefach is because poteach tefach is significant in olot. By oil, the minimum shear of an oil is a tefach by a tefach. So for that reason, it's using tefach versus tefach and a tefach versus a smaller space, because in olot, that's what's relevant. Right? That's why that's the space that's being used, and it affects other items in the list there in the Mishnayot. You're right. It could have been up to two tefachim. It would have the same question. But the real answer is that this is a din in tuma, not a din in sukkah. And again, it might be that exactly what Fred is suggesting, that there's a difference between using lava the chumra versus using lava the kula. Over there, by olot, we're told that there is no lava, because maybe there is no lava the chumra. And so too over here, we're not going to say lava the chumra, because over there it's going to cause you a problem. Whereas over here, it's to your benefit to say lavud. It's like a penalty in football where you have the option to decline it. If the play went through and you got the penalty, you can decline the penalty if it doesn't benefit you as much as the previous play. So lavud also. If it's to your benefit, you can utilize it. If it's not, right, invoke the principle. If it's not, then you just decline the use of the lavud. So that's the way I would view it in Tosafot. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that way, although he leaves it besofik. They leave it besofik. They bring this principle of Tosafot, but they're not inclined to say legamre that way, but they do bring it down the halacha of Tosafot, saying that we don't apply lovo de chumra. The other party says that ilchot tuma are an exception because it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and I can't take the halacha l'moshe m'sinai by tuma and apply it to sukkah. Now, Dorush Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, now we move back to Dofen Akuma, and we're dealing with Tanaim now. We're talking about Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Stam Rabbi Yehuda and Shas. So here it says, Dorush Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Bayit Shinifchat, you have a house that the center collapsed, V'sipech al gabav, and he puts Sachach over there, K'shera, that's a fine sukkah. Amar Lefanav Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi says to him, Rabbi Parish, says Master Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, you gotta explicate on your words, you can't just say this without explaining the situation. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai is a peer with Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi's father, Rabbi Yossi. They argue in Shas, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. So it's Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi, so he's addressing Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Kemar, because he's the equivalent of a Rebbe, he's a generation older, he's a peer of his father's. He says to them, you have to explain it. The next line here, Kach Perish Abba, it's unclear whether that is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai speaking, or that is Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi explaining. Is it Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi speaking and saying, my father Rabbi Yossi did this, this is how he qualified your statement? Or is it Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai responding to Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi and saying, my father said, meaning Ilai, that this is the way that it qualified the statement, which is, arba amot psula, pachot me arba amot ksheira. You have to qualify this case where the ceiling collapses in the middle. It depends how far away the open space, the sukkah, the kosher sukkah in the middle is from the walls. If it's less than 4 amot, I can invoke dofen akuma. If it's more than 4 amot, I cannot invoke dofen akuma, and it causes a problem for you. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was hinting to, which is, you can't just make a statement that when the roof collapses in the middle, it's good. It's not always good. It depends on how far away that open space in the middle is from the vertical walls on the side. Dorish Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, so of a similar setup. The reason it's brought down is because it's an identical structure of individuals and a statement. It has nothing to do with sukkah. Alright, so then, Avruma. The Avruma, as Rashi says, is min dagim ktanim, v'ein shvatzim nikarim ben. It's a small fish. It's an area of either very small fish, fish hash, fish brine, some sort of mixture of fish. But within that mixture, there are no non-kosher fish, only a kosher fish mixture. So this, avruma shario, it's mutar to eat. Amar lefav Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Parish. You got to explain this. That is not a statement that you can go without qualifying, because kach amar abo. So again, the same question of whether it's Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of his father, Rabbi Shmuel saying in the name of his father, Rabbi Yosi. Shama kom ploni asura, shama kom ploni muteret. You have to qualify that. It depends where it comes from. In certain locations, you're guaranteed that the fish in this river, when you take them out, there are only kosher fish. And since they're only kosher fish, you do not have to worry about non-kosher fish getting caught up in the mixture. On the other hand, in certain areas, the rivers do have non-kosher fish. And because of that, when you take the fish out of the water and you make your fish hasher brine, if you can't tell the difference between them, you have a problem, because there could be non-kosher fish mixed in this mixture. This tzachanta, as Rashi describes again, is mindagim tanim. These small fish that come out of the river Bav, sharia, are mutar, my daimo. If you say because it has a strong current, the river, and this non-kosher fish, given the shidra, since it does not have a spinal cord, lo matzikayim, it cannot survive against that strong current because it doesn't have enough structure in order to survive there. So it says, that we just have empirical evidence that's just not true, that if you go to waters that have a strong current, there's still non-kosher fish in them. So that can't be the reason why Abai says those things from Bav Nara are always kosher fish. It's because it's not a sweet water or fresh water, it's a salty water river. So that's why only the kosher fish survive there. It says, Vaidag Tameit, came to let le kilpe, lo matzi koi. These non-kosher fish, since they do not have scales, they cannot survive in this salt water. Again, the Gemara says, Vaka chazina dekoi. We see that even fish without scales have no problem surviving in salt water, and therefore that's not a good proof again, or a reason to believe that this river has no non-kosher fish in it. Ella, mishum delo marbetinayu. Since the silt or the dregs at the bottom bed of the river, delo marbetinayu dug tame. They say that basically the mud or the bed of that river just is not hospitable to non-kosher fish or to shratzim. So because of that, they just don't grow there. It's not something that you can generically say that I could apply to other rivers or other bodies of water. It happens to be that this body of water, this river, no, not to be hospitable to non-kosher fish because of its riverbed or the mud below, assuming that that's where most of non-kosher fish hang out or non-kosher items hang out, at the base of the river. And because of that, it does not have non-kosher fish in it. Amar Avinu Vayidna Deshafchei Nar Eitan V'Nar Gamda L'Hotam. Today, since they redirected the rivers of Nar Eitam and Nar Gamda to pour into there, then it's a Asira. Now it doesn't matter anymore because now they're getting water. They're being fed by other rivers. And by being fed by other rivers, then there obviously could be non-kosher fish now because they can be brought by the, or grown by the other rivers, and they can float in here. So this no longer is true. Itmar, sikech agabe achsadra sheish la ptsimim ksheira. Shein la ptsimim, abaye amar ksheira, verava amar psula. Now we have an achsadra. Let's start out what the achsadra is. The achsadra, according to Rashi, Rashi says an achsadra, which we described earlier in the Gemara, and yesterday's daf when we talked about the achsadra by the Mishnah, the achsadra in a chatzer. You have a courtyard, which is surrounded on three sides by houses. We said that there was an awning. There was a covering that came out from the houses in towards the chatzer that was suspended by being attached to the houses, but on the side of the chatzer didn't have anything that was holding it up. That's what Rashi called an achsadra. If you put schach on top of that achsadra, the empty space in the middle, that is the chatzer, we said, depending if it was within four amot of the wall or not, that was a kosher sukkah, because we could apply dofen akuma. If you're within four amot of the walls of the house, kosher sukkah. If you're more than four amot away from the walls of the house, then we said it's a problematic sukkah. Correct. Even though the intent of the walls that you're using are for the internal usage, we still apply dofen akuma to the outer side. That was the chiddush yesterday. Now, it says, sheyesh la ptsimim. That's only true if it has ptsimim. If it has ptsimim, Rashi says, these ptsimim are uprights. There are uprights that are holding up the awning in towards the chatzer. Those uprights are within three tfachim of each other. So these uprights are all the way around, and then within three tfachim of each other, and therefore they constitute a wall through bavud, and because of it, that's why it's kshira. So yesh la ptsimim is kshira, is the divrei hakol. everybody agrees that you can invoke Lavud, and it works, and it's Kshera. Obviously, we're talking about a case here where the awning is more than 4 amot away from the wall, where you can't invoke Dofen Akuma. Now you have the Tzimim here. So these Tzimim we're allowed to use for the inside, and it works because, as Tosfot says, the bottom of the Tosfot here says, why do you have to tell me this case which seems so obvious that it works? We already told you that if you have uprights that are within 3 tefachim of each other, they can act as the wall of the sukkah. Because Savar de lo amrin enoch lovud, the fish of tzimimim l'chlalach sadra naseh, the lo la'avir achitzon. Chiddush is that, once again here, you're invoking lovud in the opposite direction of where it's built. Those uprights are built for the achsadra, for the awning. So they're meant to be for the space that is internal to the awning. Since they're made for the space internal to the awning, I would think, yes, there's lovud, but lovud only helps you in terms of the awning itself or the space. I'm now trying to utilize those tzimim for the space in the middle, inside of the chatzir. So I'm using the opposite side of the tzimim from what they were dedicated towards. They were dedicated towards the achsadra, which means for the internal space of the achsadra, which is that awning that's all the way around the outside of the chatzir. The middle space of the chatzir, they're not there for the chatzir, they're there for the awning. But I'm using the outside space. Alright, so now we have, Abaye says that when it has no tzimim, shera, roba mar psula. Now without tzimim, you have a problem. The tzimim, we're giving you lavud. Lavud helps you out, even though there's another lishna, as Tosfot says, that doesn't agree with that. There's another lishna that doesn't say that because it's the opposite side of where you've been utilizing them. So that's why you would have a havamina no. We said yes, this lishna of the Gemara, everybody agrees that the lavud works here. So if you have tzimim, you have lavud, and you have a wall. If you have the awning be less than 4 amot away from the house, then you have dofen akuma. But here, where you have more than 4 amot away and no tzimim, how does Abaye end up with a kosher sukkah? Right. If you have more than 4 amot, it does not work. So Abaye says, kshira rav amar psula. Abaye amar kshira amrinan pi atikra yored v'sotem. So now he invokes another principle that comes from Eruvin, which is pi atikra, the edge of the roof, comes down and is sotem. It's as if we see it as a closure. This is only true when the ceiling or the roof is in tefach thick. So this awning, if it's a tefach thick, as it comes out to the area of the chatzer, again, it has no ptsimim, it's more than 4 amot away from the wall, we look at that edge, the edge of the awning, the face of the awning, which is a tefach thick, is what's called pia tikra, the mouth of the roof. That mouth of the, that one tefach, we look at it as a pia tikra, yored v'sotem. It's as if it's the beginning of a wall that drops down and cuts it off. The sharp edge of that area, which is a tefach thick, it's a piatik right, yored v'sotem, it comes down and it gives you the equivalent of a wall. We had this in Eruvin, again, with regards to whether you have a mechitza on that side or at the end of a mavoi. Can you say piatik right, yored v'sotem, that closes off the side? We've had that, we're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to quote from Eruvin again. Alright, so now, Rav Amar, Psula, Lo Amrinan piatik right, yored v'sotem. We don't say piatik right, yored v'sotem. Just so you know, this has huge halachic implications, especially for taseh velo minasui. That is, if you have a frame, instance you have poles, and you have a frame around the upper part of the sukkah, which most sukkot do, that is a tefach thick, and you do not put up the walls, and you put up the schach first instead, not like what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to put the walls up first and then put up the schach. If you do it in that case, it's not classified as taseh velo minasui because of that tefach that's around the frame, piatikra yoid v'sotem, and we invoke that principle to avoid the problem of taseh velo minasui. It's as if the walls were there. So the Ramah, right down the Shulchan Aruch Chila, says, Yeraga, ve'en lasot haschach, kodem shiaseh adfano. Ve'em asa tefach samuch leschach, mutar leschachek kodem shiaseh shar adfanot, kumod bechotet begadish. Bria, mishbria, tefach rocha barach kol asukana leschach, kaka gamar mechitzot, abi chotet begadish, mosif al ohel, shayya mikaret. Like it is an existing ohel, and it's fine. And even though you put up the walls afterwards, your baby's name saves you in that case. You might need to have the walls to get the full halachic walls, but your baby's name is sufficient to get rid of the problem of taseh velo min asui. So that helps, for instance, when you go around in Sukkot around the country, and Haganat HaTeva puts up the Sukkot everywhere, or you go to places where they're kind enough to put up a sukkah for the religious people. You don't know if the person who built it knew to put up the walls first or the schach first sometimes. But if it has this frame around it, it helps you because the pia tikra yored v'sotem. See that it has halachic implications in terms of it being a wall separately, but that's the malachloket that we're going to see over here. Yes, the halacha that Moshe said. Again, a more radical form of extension of gerachas. Right, it's an extreme form of gerachas. So here you have Rashi says, you can see the top Rashi here, Rashi's the Shitato everywhere, he says, Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim be called Tzad. You can invoke the principle of Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim from all sides. Rashi views here that the Eksadra has nothing around it. The case of our Chatzer, three of the walls are open because the awning comes over, there's nothing, no Psimim on it, all three sides are open, I mean the fourth side doesn't matter, but the three sides are open, and we say Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim according to Abaye on all three of those sides. Rova says, no, you can't say Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim. Amrlei Rova the Abaye, the didact Amar Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim, afilu hifchei dofen emtsai. Even if the middle wall falls out, it should be the same thing. Now Rova is referring to a case where you have a three-walled sukkah, like the horseshoe sukkah that we find everywhere, and the back wall fell out. So now you only have two parallel walls that are left. He says, okay, when that happens, why don't you say Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim? Why doesn't Abaye invoke Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim? And I have my third wall that's still there. Why don't you say Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim in that case? And it solves the problem. So Amalei Modina Lecha Bahayi, Davalei Kemavuei Mefulash. Abaye says back to him, I agree in that case that you do not say Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim. Rashi says, it's because, what's Mavuei Mefulash? Mavuei Asatum, or Mavuei She'enu Mefulash, is a Mavuei that has a horseshoe. It's got three sides that block it in. So there's no way to traverse the entire Mavui and exit the other side. Mavui Mifalash is you can enter from one side and exit on the other side. That's the case where you have parallel walls, and there's no wall on either end, so it's a Mavui Mifalash. Mifalash means a clear through. You can go straight sailing through it. So that, he says, Vaya Mavui Mifalash is problematic. Now Rashi has an issue, because Rashi is willing to say, Pira Tikray Yoruvi Sudeim on all sides. So why can't you have Pira Tikray Yoruvi Sudeim? So Rashi has to come up with a different reason here. Why? So Rashi says, what's the problem over here? Is because Nasele Kapandria Lebikiat Rabim. It's an area that people traverse. It's an area that becomes like a throughway, a thoroughfare. It becomes that because it's open on both ends now. Now, the situation, as Rashi suggests, is that it's in the middle of a chatzer. This sukkah was sitting in the middle of a chatzer, and it had three walls. Now, one of the walls, back wall falls out. People are just going to walk through it. Once they do that, they're going to ruin the Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim. His basic idea, Rashi says, is that Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim applies as long as two things are true. One is that you have a Pia Tikra, and number two is, it's not an area that people would otherwise walk through and make it as if it's invalid. You can have a fictitious wall as long as people treat the fictitious wall as if it is a wall. If they don't treat it as a wall, then that fictitious wall is ruined because people just walk, like, walking straight through the wall. How can you have a wall that people just walk through? Gedim Bokimbo, it's the same problem with Gurachid. We don't say Gurachid anymore because the fact that Gedim can be Bokimbo already indicates that the wall's not real because they can push under it. So the same idea over here. That's what Rashi says. The difference between this and the other case is. Because for Rashi, why would you differentiate over here? How come the other case, Pia Tikra, all sides, and over here you can't say it? So that's how Rashi differentiates it. I just read you what Tosfot says about this. Usvara Mishunahi. That's a very unusual Svara logic that Rashi is invoking over here. Tosfot is not in favor of this logic. Now I'll continue to read the Gemara along Rashi's lines, and then we'll come back and see it in Tosfot. Lema Abaye v'Rova b'plukto d'Rabbi Shmuel k'miflegei. Let us say that Abaye and Rova's machloket matches with the machloket Rabbi Shmuel that we find in Eruvin. D'itmar. Again, this is a machloket Rashi and Tosfot. There's a massive Tosfot in Eruvin that argued on Rashi in that case as well, which is, what is the definition of an achsadra? When the Gemara says achsadra, what is the definition of achsadra? You can guess already what Rashi thinks an achsadra is. Achsadra b'bik'a. Why is the Gemara using a bika? Why is an achsadra out in the open area? Rashi says it's because when you usually have an achsadra in a chatzer or somewhere else, usually one of the walls they utilize is a real wall. So an achsadra bika means it's open on all four sides. According to Rashi, it's the equivalent of a gazebo. It's open on all four sides. This is Rashi the Shitato, that when we invoke Pia Tikray Yoruvi Sudeim, it's talking about all sides, and they're all open. And that's what he says here. Let us say that Abaye and Rava are in the machloket of Rav and Shmuel Itmar. Achsadra bibika. Rav amar mutar l'taltel bikulo. You can carry in it. The roof of the achsadra helps you. You say Pia Tikray Yoruvi Sudeim on all four sides. And now you have an area that is Rishuti Yachid, the equivalent of Rishuti Yachid, enclosed. And therefore you can carry around it. Damrina and Pia Tikray Yoruvi Sudeim. You can't carry in there except for dalet amot, meaning that is the equivalent of a regular bik'ah, a bik'ah that is a carmelite, and a carmelite, you can only move around for amot. We don't invoke the principle of Pia Tigray Yoruvi Sudeim. You can understand why the Gemara is aligning their positions here. They seem to be identical. Right? Abaye and Rav say, Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein. And Shmuel and Rova say that, Ein Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein. Incidentally, the Gemara continues, Aliba de Shmuel Kuleyama Lo Plige. According to Shmuel, everybody agrees that there is no principle of Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein. Over here, Rashi gives you a principle. It says anytime something like this happens in Shas, if we can establish one of the Amoraim's position without a machloken in it, and the second position we can't, then that's what we're going to do. And that over here, since we can establish Shmuel and say everybody agrees under Shmuel's position, we will say that. Instead of saying that it's a machloket Rav and Shmuel, we'll say no, everybody can agree with Shmuel, which is that Aliba de Shmuel kuliyama lo plige. Nobody argues under Shmuel's position. Under Shmuel's position, Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein does not apply. And even Abayu will agree within Shmuel, that is the case. Obviously, Rova is just saying, I'm like Shmuel. And Abayu will say, I agree. Within Shmuel, I agree with you. You don't have to say that Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein. Because I've got Rav. Exactly. I can set it up that way. So that way, keep Ligi, I'll leave it to Rav. Their machloket is in Rav. Abayu, I'm like Rav. Abayi is like Rav, which is that just like Rav says Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein, so too I'm going to invoke Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein over here. Rav Amar Lecha, Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rav. Until this point, Rav, so this is how he gets rid of the conflict. Rav says, I can agree with Rav. So therefore, Rav Amar, Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rav, Hotam Ela De Mechitzot Lach Sadra Hu Da Avide. Ava Ocha De Lav Ochi Avide Lo. So this is that principle which we saw before. Over here, the Achsadra is a square area. The Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein is built in order for it to have a wall around it. The Pia Tikra is built for the Achsadra and is built to create or to delineate this square space and close this space. So when you say Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein, you're closing the space that was intended by this roof to enclose or to incorporate. Whereas when you apply Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein by the Chatzer, where you have the awning coming over, again, this is what I said before, you're using Pia Tikra to be the wall for the Chatzer area, not for under the awning. So you're using the Pia Tikra not for what the wall, that's what Tosafot said before, according to that Lashon that says when you have a wall that's made for the inside, you can't utilize it for the outside when you're invoking a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. So it's over here, you're invoking a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai by Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein. Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein only works to cover the area that's internal to the ceiling or the roof that is covering it. So there in the awning, it would enclose the space that's under the awning, but would not help you for the Chatzer space. So that would get rid of what Shaul said before. We know that Rav and Shmuel, Alocha Kirav, Bayisure, and Abayi V'Rova, Alocha Kirova. So you can solve the problem over here. You have Rova saying, I can still hold like Rav, saying that Rav would agree with me in this case. The Rashi is saying the principle is, here we had a choice to say Rav and Shmuel argue, and Abayi and Rova argue along their lines. Or we have another choice. We can say everybody agrees with Shmuel, and they only argue in Rav. The Gemara will always opt for that option, to create one of the positions to be without a machloket and the other position to have a machloket, rather than to say that it's a complete machloket that is similar. So Rashi just says that as a principle in Shas, that we always look at it in this way. All right, now, Tosafot disagrees here. Tosafot says, an achsadra is not an open space, in that the case before with Abayi and Rava, they're not arguing with a space that's open on all sides, but rather they're arguing a case where you have two walls. You have two kosher walls already that are perpendicular to each other. When they're perpendicular to each other, close, you can say that Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein on the third wall. You have two good walls that already delineate the space. Then once you've delineated the space, you can invoke Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein on the third side to finish off the third side because you have a framework on which you're working, and that's where Pia Tikra Yureid V'Sotein works. Abayi says it works there. Rova says it doesn't work. Rova challenges Abayi and says, wait, when you have a sukkah that has two walls and the back wall falls down, how come you don't say Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein? You have two walls. How come you're not invoking Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein? Abayi's answer is because that's mifulash. I only say Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein when you have two walls that are perpendicular, not when they are parallel. And that's what he's answering him. That's a mavoya mifulash. That is parallel walls. Parallel walls, I agree, do not have Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein. Then you have Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, Rashi says the case is Bika, is Achsadra Bibika. Sadra Bika, Rashi says that's because it's open on all sides. Since it's open on all sides, that's where invoking Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein, according to Rashi the Shita Toh, that you can do that. Tosafot disagrees and says it's based on a memra in the Gemara in Eruvin, which they argue about. Gemara there says that Rav says it b'arba'ah, and Shmuel says it b'shlosha. So Rashi reads it like Shita Toh. He says, Rav's willing to say Pia Tigra Yureid V'Sotein on all four sides when they're open. Shmuel is only willing to say Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem on three sides. If you have one wall up, he's willing to say it on three sides. Tosafot over there argues on Rashi's understanding of that. He says the Rach learns the same way as me. That's the in the use of the Gemara. But rather, it's the other way around. Rav allows you to use Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem for the fourth wall. If you have three walls, he allows you to invoke Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem for the fourth wall, even though there's no semblance of a fourth wall there. You have three walls that are complete. That's what it means, Shlosha. And the fourth side has nothing on it. Then he's willing to have it be Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem. Shmuel says no, that you need to have four walls before you can have Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem, which means that you have the three complete walls, and then on the fourth wall you have the beginning, you have the semblance of a fourth wall, meaning that the two sides protrude inward, even though they have a gap between them that's more than 10 amot, so it doesn't qualify as a petach. It's greater than a petach, you can't say petach, despite the fact you'll say Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem, right, that's where he'll apply it, because you already have a semblance of a wall on that fourth side. So Tosafot says the same thing over here. He says, now I understand. Why would you have a bayin rover agreeing with Rav and Shmuel? Rav is willing to invoke Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem to complete the wall, the fourth wall. So too Abaye is willing to say Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem where you have to complete the third wall of the sukkah. Because sukkah, you only need three walls. So you have two proper walls, and the third wall is using Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem. Rav in Erevin is using three real walls, and the fourth wall he says, I'm willing to say Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem. Shmuel will be like Rava. Rava says, I'm not willing to give you Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem for that third wall. So too, Shmuel says, that fourth wall cannot have Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem unless you have something that comes in and gives you a semblance of a wall there beforehand. And that's how Tosafot learns the Gemara over here. That's why we want to set up. In the end, the Gemara says, no. Everybody agrees, according to Shmuel, there is no Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem here because you can't create a wall with Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem, according to Shmuel. According to Rav, who says you can create a full wall through it, that's Machloket Abayin Verova. Abaye says, I apply it over here to Sukkah, just like I apply it by Eruvin. Rava says, no, you can't say that. By Eruvin, you're using Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem to create a wall that encloses what's inside of it. It's the fourth wall to close what's inside of it. Over here, by the Sukkah, the Piyatiyogar is coming from the awning, which is giving you a closure for the Sukkah that has two walls, but the Piyatiyogar is of the awning and not for the Sukkah itself. So you're using the outside of Piyatiyogar to help you out over there, and Rav would not agree in that case. And that's the way Tosafot, the Shitato, learns through the Gemara, vis-a-vis Rashi, who learns again, the Shitato. This Machloket is here, and the same Machloket exists in Eruvin. How many times can you apply Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem? Rashi has a very expansive view, that it's either, according to Rav, four times, four walls you can do it, all sides, and that's a Abaye case when it's Sotem, Mikol Sad. Piyatiyogar helps you on all four sides, or three sides for a Sukkah. And even Shmuel, who disagrees, he only disagrees in, okay, so I can't get four walls, I get three walls. So he has very little that he disagrees with, it's just that, I need one full wall, I need you to give me one real wall. So to over here, if you apply that to Rava, Rava's not going to apply it here because you have no walls here, according to Rashi. There are no walls there, so Rava's going to say, ain't Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem. But Tosafot is a much narrower definition. Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem applies to one wall, and even again that, according to Rav, it's a whole wall, but according to Shmuel, it can't be the whole wall. So again, Tosafot has a very narrow view of Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem, Rashi has a very expansive view. It's interesting, you have a machloket here, but it's really at opposite ends of the spectrum because of the way that they read the Gemara in Erevin.
According to Tosafot, why is
the Erevin? Oh, so Tosafot explains why Yachsadra Bika. Perish Bekonshis, Tanaka Bebika, Mishum Bebika, Yachsadra Putza, Miarba Ruchotev, Omeri Kiriya, Odad Yetedot. That's the normal way. It's like a gazebo. That's how you make it in the Bika. Avabir, Stamach Sajot, Smuchot, the Bayit of the Chatzer. They're close to the wall, and then one of the walls will be a real wall, and then that's why Rashi will say it in this way. But Tosafot says, it's a makom of Isur Tiltul, and they're trying to get rid of that Isur Tiltul. And so it's out in the Bika'ah because it wants it to be a Karmelit. It wants the area to be a Karmelit so that the area that you're trying to enclose makes a difference in terms of the Karmelit. Because if you're in a Chatzer or if you're in other areas, the Chatzer itself might be already a Rishut Yachid, and then you're dealing with a different issue. So it's a Karmelit, and you want to enclose the Karmelit to make it a Rishut Yachid, and that's why it's talking about Bikam. Inami, Shum Da'ari Inami Bachsaja Sheish La Shtei Mechitzot. Da'ato Nami Itlei Rav Piyatiyogar Ubvajlo De'e Mefuleshet. Rav agrees that if you have it on a right angle, then you can have it on three sides. If you have Inoki Rachsaja Shebechatzer, Vimashma Dafka Sheish La Shlosh Mechitzot. Only when it has three walls, then Stam Achsaja Bechatzer, Moshech Bechol Orech Hachatzer, Oberoch Bechatzer. He said, if it wasn't in the Bika, you would think you need a minimum of three walls, because that's the way a Chatzer looks normally. When it's out in the Bika, Rav can say even with two walls that it's enough, and then on the third wall or the fourth wall, you're willing to say, Piyatiyogar Yerod Mesotem. Okay, that's the difference between Rashi and Tosafot here in the Gemara. Okay, we'll stop here.
I love this.